Hello, I'm Robert Bateman, and this is the Privacy Corner, where I talk you through my top three picks for privacy developments each week. And thank you, as always, to Privado AI for sponsoring the show. So this week, WorldCoin, Sam Altman's side gig, is in trouble in Portugal after the Portuguese DPA told it to stop processing personal data. The UK has blamed China for the Electoral Commission data breach last year and another cyber attack. And the FTC has released a report reflecting on a very productive 2023 in terms of privacy and security enforcement and rulemaking. So we'll look at some highlights from that. So, WorldCoin, if you don't know about WorldCoin, it's a foundation set up by Sam Altman, and it provides a digital identity called World ID and a cryptocurrency called WLD, WorldCoin. Now, in Portugal, around 300,000 people have reportedly submitted their biometric data to WorldCoin, and it collects iris prints via shiny metal balls called orbs. It uses the biometric information derived from those iris prints to create a unique digital ID, and in exchange, it will give a person around $65 worth of WorldCoin, WLD. So this is not the first time WorldCoin's come into legal issues. In Spain, earlier this month, the Spanish DPA issued a similar stop processing order, and WorldCoin unsuccessfully appealed against it. In South Korea, the data protection authority there started an investigation into WorldCoin this month. Kenya has had some long-standing issues with WorldCoin. The courts and the regulator have been taking them to task for over a year now. And in Argentina, they are also under investigation under that country's data protection law. These are some stats, if you're watching, from WorldCoin's website. About 4.6 million unique humans have World ID. That number keeps going up and up. If you look on their website, it's a ticker, and I don't know how real the stats are, but by the time I had finished writing the number in my newsletter, which I'll link to below, the number had gone up by the end of the sentence quite substantially. So 120 countries have World ID users, and around 360,000 new accounts in the last 7 days, according to WorldCoin's website. The Portuguese DPA is a 90-day temporary suspension of processing. That's much longer than the Spanish DPA, which I think was 30 days. And they are concerned about minors, about consent withdrawal, about the deletion of personal data, and about transparency information. Now, WorldCoin relies on Article 92A for processing special category data. So that's explicit consent. But they use blockchain to store these identities. So there is a problem there, I think, if users want to revoke their consent for that storage. Also, if they want to exercise their right to erasure. Blockchain technology are notoriously incompatible with those elements of the GDPR, I'm told. Perhaps that's changed, perhaps WorldCoin's found a solution, but that might be quite a tricky challenge for them. As for minors using their service, children, it might defeat the point of generating a digital ID based on people's iris prints if you have to check their age via government-issued ID beforehand. The point of WorldCoin and the World ID is to become the most widely used digital identity and also the most widely used cryptocurrency. If it's tied to government-issued IDs, if you need an ID to get one, then that's going to be a problem for the foundation. So we'll see how this resolves, whether it resolves. They're doing pretty well in terms of reach, but fighting legal issues on a number of fronts. Of course, WorldCoin maintains that they comply with all relevant data protection and privacy laws. Now, in the UK, there was a very important data breach revealed last year at the Electoral Commission, and the National Cybersecurity Centre is blaming China for that. They also suspect strongly that Chinese state-affiliated organisations were involved in an attempted cyber attack against members of parliament in 2021. Now, the Electoral Commission breach, first, it's worth saying this is very, very unlikely to have any impact on UK elections. In the Electoral Commission's own words, they don't run the polling stations, count the votes, or announce the results at elections. They kind of oversee the electoral process, the running of elections, and the information voters get, but they don't count the votes. So we can probably put any concerns about election interference directly to one side, I think. Something might be revealed later on, but based on what we know, that seems pretty unlikely. However, this data breach did impact around 40 million people in the UK. That's almost everyone registered to vote in Great Britain or Northern Ireland, and affecting quite a long period as well. The attackers were in the Electoral Commission's systems for over a year, and they also had access to the Electoral Commission's email systems, so there could be more sensitive data compromised in that. As it stands, it's the electoral rolls that the attackers had access to. Some of those are public, one of them's not. It's mostly names and addresses, but a large amount of data, unfettered access to it. It is quite a worrying incident, even if elections have not been compromised. Now, the attack on parliamentarians, the NNCSC highly suspects or is almost certain that Chinese affiliated cyber actors were behind that, but that was a failure. They tried to access the accounts of parliamentarians that are critical of China, but failed to do so. And the UK has sanctioned two Chinese individuals and one Chinese organisation as a result of these discoveries. Now, lastly, the Federal Trade Commission had a very busy year last year, as I keep saying. They've released an update, a report about their 2023 privacy and data security activity. They are even more prolific than I thought. I mean, there really is a lot of stuff in here. I won't go through it all because it would take all day, but I'll focus in on a few bits. So the FTC divides its enforcement activity into three groups: artificial intelligence. So there were cases against Rite Aid, Ring, and Amazon. The Rite Aid case, particularly interesting at the end of last year. They had children and teens. They've put Epic Games here. I think that was 2022, but fair enough. And Edmodo, the education tech provider. And sensitive data. So there are a lot of health-related cases last year, sometimes under the FTC Act, sometimes under the health breach notification rule. We had BetterHelp, GoodRx, Holdings, Premom, I should say, Flow, Rite Aid, and Corchava, very long ongoing case against Corchava. And so far this year, they've had InMarket, Xmode, and Avast, all involving what they are calling sensitive data, location data and browser data in the case of Avast. So of particular interest are these three cases. We had Ring, Amazon, and EverAlbum. In each case, these companies were ordered to delete not only data, but also models or algorithms trained on the data. This is a step that we do not see very often outside of the FTC's enforcement activity. Algorithmic disgorgement, I think it's sometimes called. And they are not afraid to use that. So EverAlbum, for example, was forced to delete its work product, including any models or algorithms derived from unlawfully obtained or processed data. They apparently misrepresented how they used facial recognition technology. This is a photo storage app using FRT for whatever reason. So expect more FTC enforcement activity this year, and also some rulemaking under the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act as well. So that's all from me this week. Thank you so much to Privado, as always, for sponsoring the show. Do check out my interview with Keir Lamont from the Future of Privacy Forum from last week, where we discussed the My Health, My Data Act that starts to kick in on Sunday. And have a lovely Easter if you celebrate that, and I'll see you next week.